League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Going to connect with a good old friend, Jimmy Rutherford from the Vancouver Canucks on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon on a night that we watched three more teams work their way into the second round, John.
I thought all four would end last night. So I did think Dallas was going to win at a certain point. And I think I changed my mind 12 times in that game last night in Denver about who was going to win the game. It was a crazy, crazy game. Now, you were busy with the Golden Knights for the most part, but I cannot imagine what was going on between, Jared Bednar and Pete DeBoer and just trying to manage the situation and with the way the game was played and some of the great goaltending and some of the brutal goaltending, and then an awful bounce, Sam Steele, Colin Blackwell into the net for the game-winning goal that sets up a game seven that, if memory serves me, Peter DeBoer, as a coach in the National Hockey League, has never lost a game seven, correct?
Correct.
So it's funny. That's a series, again, even through the whole thing, that the ebbs and flows are such that I never thought we'd get to a game seven. There was a time where I thought Colorado's going to win in 5. Then it was going to be Dallas going to win in 6. I just never thought it would get to 7. I never thought it would get there, and it has.
Well, Dallas led for such little time during the first 4 games, and we're still in a great position. And even last night, we're in a perfectly place spot in the hockey game to be able to close it out, and fate or hockey gods or rub the green, whatever you want to call it, raise its ugly head.
That's the good old-fashioned puck luck. That's what it is. Puck luck.
It was crazy.
Rick Tocchet was the guy who told me more about puck luck than anything else. So,
one game in Dallas. Who wins that between the Avalanche and the Stars?
Well,
is it fair to even offer an opinion?
Well, they both won in each other's arenas in this series.
Yeah.
And they both have superstars. Blackwell and Ottinger have been good and bad and ugly through the whole series. I just don't know how you can do it. The one, if you're looking at the two rosters, if you're looking at all of that, you do wonder how the Dallas defense can survive another game. You know, Harley, Lindell, I mean, there's some good players there, but they're not that deep. Mm-hmm.
Bischel's been banged up a couple of times.
Labushkin has, I don't think, has had a great series. So
It was the same thing last year. They went with 5D in the first round and went seven games.
Yeah. So you do wonder about, and they won that seventh game. Again, that's the Peter DeBoer magic. So you do wonder what's going to go on there. But I tell you what a night, though. When you think about all the storylines in the game that you did, you know, with Marc-Andre Fleury finishing his career against the Golden Knights, and the way that the game ended and the Knights finally playing what I would describe as Knights hockey. Edmonton and LA. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's wait and talk about those series a little more after our pal Jimmy shows up.
You just got. I sent you a text because you were on a roll that Jimmy was there.
I never get your texts. And if I did get your texts, I wouldn't reply anyway. So
come on. We're on the same page on this thing. Jimmy Rutherford from the Vancouver Canucks. This could get interesting. Jimmy's not afraid to tell like it is.
No, nobody can complain in Vancouver that they don't know what's going on.
President of Hockey Operations for the Vancouver Canucks, Jimmy Rutherford, joins us on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon next.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
So I woke up today, and I look, and nothing's trending in Vancouver. Here's Jimmy Rutherford from the Vancouver Canucks. What a boring day up there right now.
Well, it's early, so we'll see. But you're right, it's quiet this morning.
So the last two press conferences you have given, Jim, I would say that in 40 to 50 years I've been around, are two of the most candid, transparent press conferences in the history of the game. You have been so brutally honest and open with people. Why? Why is the question?
Well, you've known me for a long time. That's the way I am. I'm asked a question. I give an answer. I know sometimes I may cross the line and say a little bit too much, but that's just the way I am. And I think being transparent is important. Our fans and media, they want to know what's going on. And of course, I can't tell them everything, but I like to tell them as much as I can.
Okay, so let's go with the... There's lots of news, but let's go with the call you got from Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, that. Well, I'll start off with what he started off saying. This is the toughest call I've ever had to make, and he's been a longtime friend. He will be forever, and he did a terrific job here. It was really trending, in my opinion, towards him staying, because every conversation Patrick Alvin and I had with him was about what took place during the season, what he'd like to do different in the off season, do different in camp, do different next year, talked about different players. And of course, there was a period of time going through a negotiation, but at the end of the negotiation, that did not affect his decision. So, he has some things going on that he's working through now. I believe he's sincere in saying that he wants to get back to the East, closer to his family. And we'll see where that takes him. But we're thankful for what he did, and we wish him all the best.
At any point in this discussion, or prior to the actual offering of the new contract, you had that option to basically make him stay if he wanted. But you would have never done that. That's not what friends do to friends, correct?
Well, I suggested to him or a better way to say it, I reminded him and his agent that we have that option and we can use it. But when you really sit down and think about it, whether it's a friend or not a friend, just a business associate, if somebody has their mind made up that they want to be someplace else, then it's not going to work. So at that point, I told him I would not do that to him.
Jimmy, did he communicate the wanting to go back East directly to you?
Yes. Yes, he did. His agent said that, and he has said that to me a couple of times. His son actually lived in Seattle and works for a company in Seattle, but now he's moved back East. So, and they have a great relationship, and that's important to him.
What do you think his biggest strength was as your coach?
Oh, he had a lot of strengths. You know, he was a good communicator. He was willing to sit down and sort out the issues. One of the biggest reasons I hired him here, you know, because I was familiar with the work he did with Mike Sullivan and the day-to-day, or maybe not day-to-day, but week-to-week things that he had to deal with in Pittsburgh that the head coach either didn't want to or didn't have time to. And he was so good at it. And so this is what he did here. He had our players give it their best almost every game. Of course, playing 82 games, you're probably going to have 8 or 10 games that you're a little flatter, but he got the most out of this team. And when you consider that the last few weeks of the season, we didn't have a number one or number two center in the lineup, and we were still battling and stayed in the playoff race right down to the last 3 or 4 games, I would say a lot of credit to the players, but certainly a lot of credit to Rick Tocchet.
So it sounds like there is some back and forth about next year. Did you get a feeling of what would be a priority number one for that room from a head coach coming in through Rick Tocchet?
Well, he and we really like Quinn Hughes, and as a young captain, he's grown and he's doing a good job leading the team. But we still have work to do in the room as far as confidence and knowing that we can win games. And so he had talked about that issue and where we go with that, what he was going to do. And probably in short, it's more about pushing some of the guys that are a little bit quieter. You know, bringing in Marcus Pettersson was a big step. He really came in that room. He helped the leadership. But we have guys that are real character guys that can be leaders that to this point, and maybe it's because of everything we've dealt with and where we were at in the past, that have been a little quieter than we'd like them to be, and we hope that some guys step up.
On the topic of Quinn Hughes, do you feel there's been an artificial deadline created because of the comments that you made in the first press conference about the New Jersey situation and his unrestricted free agency in 2 years?
Well, some of those comments were in jest, of course. I mean, I wasn't totally serious about it.
You mean like the one about the practice facility the other day? Nobody got the joke, Jim. Nobody got it.
Well, the media is pretty serious here. They weren't sure whether they were supposed to smile or laugh or not, but I wasn't going to speak any further until I got a little chuckle out of them. So everybody lightened up. But yeah, the practice facility, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, it was one of the things when I came here, I pointed out that we needed to resolve. And there has been a lot of hard work put into that. But this is a tough market. You know, there's not a lot of empty lots sitting in Vancouver that you can just go and plunk an ice rink on. And then we've tried really hard to work with some of the local rinks so we could attach about 20,000 square feet to their building and use their facility. That hasn't worked out. But we've brought a couple of more people on board that are working on this now, and we're taking a little different approach to it. I think we're on the right track, but I don't know until we get a commitment. So anyways, but as for Quinn, no, I don't have a deadline on that. I mean, I'll say the obvious, he's a wonderful person and a great player, but we do control him for two more years. I think a better way of saying that is we control him for a year and 2/3, because if we get to that trade deadline 2 years from now and it looks like he doesn't want to stay, then we would have to do something at that point. But we are hoping that he's here to stay, and he's the leader of the team and the face of the franchise.
Did you finally get a hold of him to discuss the Tocchet situation?
Yeah. And I didn't even say hello to him when he called me back. And I said, I hope you were golfing. And I said, because when you didn't answer the phone, I told the media that you were golfing. And he said, I was golfing and my phone died. So he said, that's why I'm getting back to you now. But we had a great conversation. He's a very understanding guy. He did really like Rick. He still likes Rick, of course. They had a great relationship, and he loved playing for him. But he understands how the sport works, and he's all for going forward with the changes we're going to have to make.
You know how tight the brothers are, Hughes, and you referenced it in your press conference, possibly the playing together. Has Quinn ever mentioned that to you? Or is it just anecdotally?
No, that's just been out there. I think people assume that. You know, our focus is not about what's going to happen a year or two down the road with anybody. Right. Our focus is preparing for each season, and I think that's where his focus should be and the team's.
Timeline for a coach now?
Well, we'd like to do it sooner than later, but we do want to have a process. We're moving rather quickly as far as setting up interviews and things like that. So I would suspect that we would move along on it here in the next couple of weeks, but I don't want to put a deadline on it. It's a very important decision, and we have to get it right.
When you put the job description together, how important would previous NHL experience be?
Not necessarily important. You can look at that two ways. And I say this respectfully because there's a lot of really good NHL coaches that are out of work right now. So it's a matter of, do we want to go the experience route of a guy that's out of work now, or do we want to go that route where you bring somebody in that doesn't have the experience, but has experience as an assistant coach, has done well in the American Hockey League, and maybe comes in with some fresh ideas.
You know, because you made a great decision in moving Manny out to Abbotsford to coach at the American League level, but I would suggest it might be a couple of years early for Manny to be a head coach in the NHL right now.
I don't have an answer for that, because we have not approached him about the job. Or I will say, first of all, what we do in Abbotsford, it's not only about developing players, it's about developing future people for Vancouver. And that was part of him being hired there, with no promises, of course, but that's the best way to get to know somebody. Mm-hmm. And we have somebody down there. The Sedins are there all the time. We rely very heavily on their input. And they have a lot of time and a lot of respect for Manny and the job he's done there. So he is obviously on our short list. We got to be real careful interfering with the playoffs there. We want him to keep his focus on the job at hand. He's done a terrific job. And at the appropriate time, we will talk to him. And like everybody, we'll ask some tough questions and see how he responds to it.
Where does a process like that start, looking for a head coach? Like, how long would your list be, or how far ranging would your web be?
Well, our list is very long today because, as you know, in this league, when there's a job opening, you get a lot of calls. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of agents that represent coaches. They have a lot of coaches, and Neil Glassberg and Gil Scott. And of course, they have reached out to me with a number of names, and I've told Patrick Alvin and Ryan Johnson and the agents that reach out, you know, please don't give us 15 names from each of you. Please narrow it down, because we're not interviewing 30 people. We're going to narrow that list down. It's what we're in the process of doing now, and setting up calls for next week.
Jimmy Rutherford with us on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. We'll be back with more right after this.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Jimmy, if you were going to summarize this past season in two sentences, how would you do it, or three sentences?
Yeah, I don't need sentences. I mean, one word will do it. It's disappointing. We'll use a few more words. Frustrating. You know, we worked really hard a year ago to get to where we got to. And it turned out really the way it started when I was asked what it would take to make the playoffs. And I said, everything had to go right. And it did. And it was a credit to everybody in the organization, talking as coaching staff and the players. And we thought we were on our way. We added some players that had career years in the off season last year, DeBrusk, Sherwood, Lankinen. We added two or three players that didn't turn out. We quickly corrected that. And there were a lot of good things in place. Of course, then things started to turn. Dakota got cancer. He couldn't start the season. Demko had injuries off and on during the season. We had a bunch of injuries, actually. Miller had an injury. He missed some time. Hughes missed some time. Demko missed more than once. He was out down the stretch. But the biggest one was things seemed to be fine in training camp. And right that first week of the season, the thing blew up with the two players. Mm-hmm. It started to affect pretty much everybody in that locker room. Got to a point that we knew that we had to make a change, even to the point the players involved talked about making a change. And we acted very quickly at that point. I mean, you can't just make one call and make a trade. It's going to take a month or two. And I think overall, based on the circumstances, we acted quickly. Had to make a decision. I would say more we were forced into making a decision, because both players understood that they could get traded to resolve this, or possibly both players would get traded. And we didn't have to ask Pettersson for permission. We did have to ask JT for permission. And we made him aware of that. And he said at that time he would work with us. And then as time went along, I think 4 or 5 weeks, then he came to us and said, I would really like to move on and get a fresh start. And then pretty quickly after that, that's when it got resolved. But that that issue really derailed this team this year to a point that that it didn't have time to recover.
Looking back, was there anything that you would do differently?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think every night after I finish my day's work, I analyze the whole day and try to figure out what I could have, what I or we as an organization could do differently. I'm not sure there's a whole lot we could have done different. I mean, on one hand, you can say you could see it coming. But on the other hand, these two players figured out how to get along last year and win a division together. And that was our hope going forward, that as time went along, you know, even though they weren't going to be best friends, that they could play on the same team. I mean, I've seen it many times over my long career where there were guys in the locker room that just really didn't like each other, but they came to work and it didn't fester and it didn't flow over to the rest of the players. But this one had been going on for a couple of years, and you had two, you know, we can give examples, and probably basketball is the best sport, of some of the star players that didn't get along that won championships. But the difference in this case was you had two personalities that were totally the opposite. And I think that's why those two guys had a tough time where they just couldn't figure it out together.
So just everybody hears about these stories, but when you're in your car driving to the arena to work, is this just something that consumed everybody? It was wearing on everyone?
It got to that point. Yeah, it got to that point. I mean, the one thing I know, there couldn't have been any more meetings because the people that were directly involved, there were meetings after meetings after meetings. I thought Rick Tocchet did a really good job in communicating with these two guys. They would have meetings. They would agree that they could work this out. And then matter of a week later, it would kind of fester again. And then more meetings and more meetings. Meetings to see when the next meeting was going to happen. So the communication was there. We had a lot of people involved trying to help out, and I just couldn't figure it out. So to answer your initial question, I'm not sure that there's a whole lot could have been done different. I know lots of people have an opinion on this, but I think it's a fool's game for people to have an opinion that didn't have enough information to form an opinion.
Okay. Did one side, in your view, bear more responsibility for the rift?
No. And I think JT is the guy that gets pointed to the most, and I will stick up for him. He certainly there were some things done that he may have liked to do different initially, but even after it flared up at the start of the season, I believe he was working hard on trying to figure this out. And it didn't get to the point that it got figured out. But no, I would not blame one person. It involved two people, but over time it started to involve more people because it started to filter in to more people in the dressing room.
So people picking sides almost like.
Yeah, I guess. But I view it more that it became something that was part of everybody's in their mind every day when they came to the rink. And so they were losing their focus on what was most important. I would say that's a better way to say it.
All right.
I do that to John all the time.
Right. Yeah. And thank goodness we live 2,000 miles apart. Okay, so a couple of more names now. Brock Besser, where are you with Brock?
Well, we're still open to him coming back. He's earned the right to be a free agent, and we've told him if he goes into July 1, we'll keep the door open. Of course, we'll look at what our options are. If that door is still open, we'd still consider bringing him back. We are trying to be cautious with the length of the contract. And I believe in his mind, it's important to him to get that long term. And so that's kind of where this sits now.
Are you, is there always something in the back of your mind when you're negotiating a deal, how important it is? Because I believe Besser wants to be in Vancouver. And wanting players to play in Canadian cities is rather important to this, isn't it?
Very important. You're making a great point. And, you know, when July 1 comes, I mean, we're not very often on the top of a player's list. You know, we can get the Western Canada players that love to get closer to home. But when you look at a lot of players, they're looking to go other places before they go to Vancouver. Now, we do have some good fortune with the European players. They figured out how to work around the heavier taxes here, and they love the city. It reminds them of their European cities. And so we have some good fortune there. But you're right. With a guy like Brock, who's loved playing here, he's had a successful career with the Canucks and wants to be here. That's important to us, yes.
Tom Wielander.
Yeah.
So
is there a question?
No, I just thought I'd throw the name out and see what the reaction was, because there's a young guy that you control his rights for a bit, 11th overall. But you said the other day in your press conference that there was, you know, certain thresholds that you're trying to enforce for contracts, and you're not going to waver on that. So I just wondered where that sits with Wielander and what he's going to be for the future.
Yeah, well, it's not personal for him. It's just a matter that we have a structure, and I probably shouldn't say this because I don't like negotiating publicly, but the fact of the matter is he's been offered the same as what the 11th overall pick got last year. And it's not like we're being too hard on him, and we think we're being fair, but he has the right to make his own decisions, and we'll just see where it goes.
And what type of player is he, Jim?
Oh, he's a very good player. He's a very good two-way solid defenseman that can skate, move the puck. He's got really good character. He's going to have a good long, as long as he's injury-free, NHL career. I was just going to jump in and answer the question. You're halfway through. I believe he can step in and play this year.
So that's an important road that we're going down with the contract and having a player that could potentially step right in and be that talented.
And it's to his advantage. I mean, if he decides to go to Europe or go back to school, I mean, now he's missing 1 year towards unrestricted free agency. The sooner you get in this league, the sooner you become an unrestricted free agent. And if you decide to, in his case, go back to school for 2 years, it takes them longer to get there. And so there's a lot of variables here. We hope that this gets done. It doesn't have to get done, of course, until training camp. So we'll be patient and not press him. He's at the World Championships now, working out with Team Sweden, which is good for his development. So we're fine with that.
You still believe in Thatcher Demko?
Oh yeah, very much so. Very much so. He's one of the top goalies in the league. I'll say the obvious. He struggled with injuries, but about 2 months ago, he came up with a new training program. And it's a program that some other goalies are on in the league that is more prevents injuries. And when he went on that, his whole workout routine changed. He got more confident with some of the things he had to do. Like when he came back off his injury, he got in some of those games and he made some of those saves that not many or any other can make in the league, where he stretches out across and his legs are stretched way out. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he's not going to get up. But he really tested his injuries when he came back for those games. And so we feel very confident where he's at.
Is he your number one goaltender at camp then? Because you've got Lankinen signed.
Well, we have a 1 and 1A at this point, yeah. And that's going to be up to the coach, and it's going to be how they're playing at different times. You don't have your A game all the time. If a guy starts slow in training camp or the start of the season, I take it the coach will play the other guy. We just hope that they don't start slow at the same time, that one's going when the other's not. But we have two very good goalies.
You mentioned the draft. You mentioned free agency. What's your work methods between now and the end of June and July the 1st as far as trying to help this hockey club?
Well, we do the standard thing. You know, we got our pro scouting meetings here in the next couple of weeks, our amateur scouting meetings. Todd Harvey, our head of amateur scouting, and Patrick Alvin are at the U18s this week. So they're doing all the work they need to do. We feel we sit in a good spot where we are now before it gets to the cutoff point in the first round where your odds are a little less as to getting a better player. I mean, all first rounders and second rounders have a real good chance of playing in the league, but we feel we sit in a good spot. We will keep all options open. We feel that this coming year is critical. So we'll keep an open mind as to what it takes to improve our team. And so you obviously know what I'm saying. We'll consider moving our first pick if it's for a player that is going to make a difference on our team.
Well, you do need that. And we haven't talked about Pettersson's regime between now and next year, but you still do need a number one or two center, don't you?
We do. That's our priority. You know, we feel good about where our goalies are at. We feel good where our defense is at, and even better going forward with these young defensemen. I mean, we you know, a lot of the talks about Pettersson, the defense, young Pettersson, the defenseman,
right.
Willander, but Mancini is a guy that's got a nice package. He still needs a little bit of development, but very good. Mignot, Kudryavtsev, McWard. We have a lot of young defensemen, so we feel good about that. And then, of course, our forwards have to get more balance and get in a position where they can produce more offense. And the number one thing is to add a number one or number two center. And then after that, things can get sorted out. If we re-sign Besser and Suter, we may not add another winger if we can get the right center and get Petey going. So that's the priority. Get that center Iceman in place, and then decisions can come easier.
How do you get Elias going?
Well, it's very encouraging, and I know it's just a very short period of time, 2 weeks since we've been finished here, but he is working very hard. And I got that unsolicited from our strength and conditioning guys. They called me, and he's gone back to Sweden now, I believe. He's definitely left Vancouver, but he stayed for an extra week, and he was in working every day and working harder than anybody's seen him work. So that's encouraging. That's really the answer to your question. If he prepares this summer, there's not going to be a problem. He's got the ability. He just has to improve his work ethic, and he doesn't like what happened this year. He doesn't like getting beat down during this season for not having the year that he's capable of. So he's got a lot to motivate him, and I believe he'll do it.
He's had a last couple of years have been tough because, you know, the way last year ended with you know, the injury, and then the way this year ended. Do you feel he's had enough growing up? Has he matured that way? I mean, Vancouver's a tough town to play in, Jim.
He's matured to the point that he understands there's a process and people are here to help him. Okay, he's a guy that is very private, tries to do things on his own, and I think he gets it now. There's a reason why we have a medical staff. There's a reason why we have team doctors. There's a reason why we have a strength and conditioning staff. There's a reason why we have a development staff. Those are all tools that he can use that he really didn't use properly. And I believe that he understands by doing that, it's going to make it easier for him to get back to where he should be.
So it's physical, not the mental, the noise, and battling through everything else that's going on outside the rink for Pettersson.
I wouldn't say it's totally physical. I believe some of it's mental. I believe the situation that flared up the first half of the season affected him mentally. And so when you eventually get through one of those, you learn from them. You learn how to be stronger. And my hope is that's where he's at.
One last thing on a player, Philip Hedl. Are you concerned with the concussions? And I mean, Hedl can be a great player for you.
Well, yeah, you're always concerned when guys have concussions. But when you look at the deal with New York and trying to get a center iceman back, you know, we were willing to take that risk. He came here. He showed signs that he can help us. You know, we were squeezing him a little bit too much, and the coach didn't have a choice. But ideally, his best place is to be a third-line center. That's where he's going to do his best work. Mm-hmm. And we were playing him in the top two lines. And then, of course, he got hurt. He was probably healthy enough to play the last two games. It didn't make sense for him to do that. But he likes it here. He's a hardworking guy. And we hope his injuries are behind him.
Is John Shannon on your long list?
I'd be a great coach. We wouldn't win, but I'd be a great coach. We'd be entertaining for sure.
John is always on my list, but not the coaching list.
there are shit lists in this league too. So. Hey, are you watching the playoffs?
Oh yeah, love it. I love it, and it's a great part about living in Vancouver. I mean, when I lived in the East, I used to have to stay up till 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning because I always watched all the games. But it's great now. On Saturdays, the game starts at 10 in the morning. I can watch them till 10 at night. But yeah, I don't miss any of these playoff games, and I'm loving every one of them. It's been great.
Any series jump out at you that you can't miss watching?
Well, I like watching the Edmonton LA series. Of course, they're in our division, and I like the Florida series, and I really like the Colorado Dallas series. That's a not miss for me.
I don't think we're crossing any lines. Can you give us a heads up on how you see Vegas Edmonton going?
I can't. I haven't thought about it enough, but they played in prior years, of course. They're two very good teams. They win in different ways. So I don't have any predictions there, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. When's the last time you talked to Paul Maurice?
Probably in the last month. I like to contact him when he reaches these milestones that he reaches, and so other than that, we're best friends, but we don't talk on a regular basis because he's got lots of work to do, and so do I.
And then we would be remiss in not mentioning that your old coach in Pittsburgh got hired by the New York Rangers already. But you know what? You knew that because he told you that when he phoned you on Tuesday.
Well, I had an inkling that that's where he was going to end up. I think most people did, but it's the perfect spot for him. You know, family's important to him. Family, his son lives in New York. His wife is a big Rangers fan, so that works for them. And of course, his daughters live in Boston, so it's going to be easier for him to get back and forth and see them. He's starting to have grandchildren, and he's a great coach. The Rangers should be very thankful that they were able to get him.
It's funny. I always think of Paul Maurice whenever there's a coaching vacancy around you, and check where Paul is. And unfortunately, that's not the case the last couple of times. Thanks for this, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it. Take care.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Sorry, John, I wanted you to know whether or not you were going to be considered for a coaching opportunity there and not have to just sit on it all summer wondering.
It was nice of you to ask, but...
Okay.
If I really wanted to coach, Neil Glassberg or Gil Scott would get the phone call for me. So
really,
well, no, those, it's fun. That is the first time I've ever heard a hockey management guy talk about
coaches agents.
I mean, we all know who they are. If you're in the circle, you're in the circle in the business we're in, we know. But we don't hear their names out there very much publicly. And there's Jim just talking about everything. It's great.
And the rule is an agent can't represent a coach and a player.
Correct. Well, that's the famous Allen Eagleson rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Allen Eagleson used to represent coaches and players. And at one point delivered Bobby Orr and Eddie Johnston to the Chicago Blackhawks. Two former teammates, and somebody had a fit, and they said it was a conflict of interest, and it changed after that. Mid-70s.
How do you think the Vancouver fan base would react to John Shannon behind the bench?
It would last about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
But like I'll tell you what, it would be a fun 6 minutes.
You playing the Oliver card wouldn't buy you nine?
No, actually, playing the Oliver card would buy me six.
Toronto advances. Yep. Edmonton moves on, and Vegas is into the second round.
Yes.
You have higher seeds, two of the three, although calling Edmonton an underdog was splitting hairs against LA. I think that's the most shocking turnaround in a series, even though Toronto also went six against Ottawa.
Yeah, and give Ottawa credit. They, you know, with the amount of overtime games they played, some would say, well, if we got the right puck luck, we could have won the series. But I thought the Maple Leafs played a very, very solid playoff game last night. It wasn't spectacular, but it was much simpler. And it paid off. It did pay off. But you have to give points to Travis and what the guys are doing in Ottawa, because that team's going to be a force in the East for a few years once they get everything settled, and they're pretty close to doing that. The Maple Leafs are going to give Florida a tough time. They really are. By the way, have you got your 100% hockey hero from that series?
I do.
Who's that?
Who do you go first? I went first last time.
Matthew Nyes. He's my guy. I thought he was good. Yeah. How about you? You're going with the goaler. You're going with the goaler.
No. I went with Matthew Nyes as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Consensus. Good. Yeah. So Matthew Nyes. What about in the Edmonton series? Edmonton, LA. Who's your guy?
Connor McDavid. because really? he gave them hope early on. And I think that they were, even though they lost that first game, what he did showed that LA was vulnerable. And I'm gonna stick with Connor McDavid.
Well, in honor of you, I was going to go with Calvin Pickard.
Mm. Not a bad pick. I'm still incredibly impressed and surprised that he won four games in a row in that series.
Yeah, but the other thing that hasn't been talked about enough in that series is that what the Edmonton defense was able to do as a unit. You know, the resurrection of John Klingberg has made a difference. Darnell Nurse and Evan Bouchard, who was ready to be, you know, run out of town after the second game with what he did offensively. And he was much steadier in the game defensively last night, to the point where he almost didn't notice him, which was fascinating to think about. You know, what about the Golden Knights in the Wild?
I was just going to say, the old me would have picked the 100% hero in the LA Edmonton series as Jim Hiller, as a smartass comment.
Yeah, I see, but you're not a smartass anymore.
No, I've changed. But did LA lose that series more than Edmonton won it?
Well, you might be able to suggest that, but Edmonton screwed up the first game. You know, it's a long time ago now, but Edmonton screwed up the first game, came back and tied it, and then let in a horrendous goal for the Kings to win game one. So, you know, for everybody saying, well, it could have been a King sweep, Edmonton could have won in five. So there was enough mistakes on both sides there. Did Jim Hiller change the momentum? Yeah, he did. He changed the momentum of the series with a bad challenge. And then with a just horrendous decision, I think, to shorten his bench in game four. I think the shortening of the bench was actually worse than the challenge. I really do.
It cost him two games, really.
Yes, it cost them games four and game five. Yeah.
Vegas, my 100% hockey hero is Tomas Hertl. Tied for the team lead in goals. Has 6 points and was great early on in the series until the number one line got going.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. And that's what he was supposed to do when he was acquired from San Jose, right? He was supposed to be that extra pillar on the offensive side of the puck so that there wasn't a lot of pressure on Stone and Eichel. And what we're finding, too, is the teams that have one or two guys that carry the load, you're not going to win. I mean, the Oilers are a great example. They had six other forwards contribute so much, almost as much as Connor and Leon in this series. But so I don't disagree with the Hertl one at all. That's fantastic. Well,
what Jimmy said about a number one or number two center, Vegas has Jack Eichel and Tomas Hertl, 1-2 punch at center, and arguably their best 200-foot player in William Karlsson was moved to the wing. He's never really played the wing, and he played wing with Jack Eichel, and that's how deep they are.
Karlsson actually looked, in this series, he looked faster to me, but I guess without some of the defensive responsibilities you have, you can actually tend to be a little more aggressive that way as a winger, correct?
And totally. It frees you up to really go up and down, north, south, if that's the way you want to do it. That combination, Bruce Cassidy pushed a lot of the right buttons there. Did you see the pass by Mark Stone to Jack Eichel leading him?
Yeah.
A saucer pass, maybe 90 feet, and it was an off-speed pass. Like, it was feathered in there.
But here is the
closest thing to a golf shot combined with a curling shot that I've seen in hockey.
But really, what made the pass so effective was Jack Eichel's speed, which none of us really appreciate. Because he has that Jean Beliveau style skating, and Phil Esposito, and you don't think they're skating fast, and yet they go right by you, and that was part. And if from a Vegas perspective, there has to be a huge sigh of relief that and I'm not being critical, that Jack Eichel finally showed up in a series. He had gotten better as the series, and I'm talking about offensively. I'm not talking about defensively, because that was part of the issue. I would assume that he was so consumed trying to stop Kaprizov that he forgot to do the offensive stuff too.
And in the ozone, Minnesota was basically shadowing him.
Yeah,
they were putting a guy on him, making it a even strength situation out on the other side of the rink. And same with on the power play, they were just glued to him.
What did you think of the Fleury handshakes?
It was good.
Yeah.
I think.
Now you weren't in Vegas when Marc-Andre Fleury was there, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, you were.
I was here.
Yeah. But he, you know, I did find there was some irony that his last game was against the Golden Knights.
Yeah, so do I. It's interesting. Hall of Fame goaltender.
Well, without doubt.
First ballot, and the last game he ever plays, the final shot he faces, went in.
Yeah.
There's no favorites. Patrick Waugh was the same thing. Last shot he faced was in overtime. It went in. And you can't always go out the way you want to.
Well, he decided to quit, though. I mean, it's his decision. I mean, had Fleury decided to come back, I'm sure Billy Guerin would have given him another year. So, but you
can't. It's time, John.
I know.
It's time.
I know it's time. So,
I meant for this episode.
Oh.
Did you want to chat on Mike Sullivan going to the Rangers?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. But again, money speaks, you know, and Mike does have ties to the Rangers, having been there before, working for John Tortorella.
Drafted too by the Rangers way back when.
Wow. Yeah.
By the Rangers.
And you know what, he's a commanding figure, and hopefully he will be able to write the ship there, because there were lots of issues in New York the last year, and some of it needs to be corrected in order for that team to get back on track. And if somebody can do it, Mike Sullivan can do it. So
in a way, did Peter Laviolette change the landscape when he left Washington for a new opportunity? Like he had term left there, right? In Washington. And they agreed to part ways. And then he went to the Rangers for a team that was more ready to win. It looks very similar with what Sullivan's navigated through Pittsburgh to the Rangers.
Yeah. So has
the balance of power swung towards coaches?
Well, I think what you have to, I think from that perspective, you know, coaches' salaries aren't under the cap. So if you think you can help your club and you're tight to the cap, you have to hope and think that a coach can make the difference. You know, right now, or as of prior to the Sullivan hiring, we had a quarter of the teams in the National Hockey League without a coach. I suspect there still will be a few more teams to make decisions on coaches. But at the same time, from owners' perspective, and this more owners than managers, if an owner thinks that a coach can put the team over the top, he's going to push his manager to go find that body and improve the team. And the moment people like Sullivan become available, like Tockett become available, the dialogue between ownership and manager becomes, hey, that guy, that Tockett guy's available. Maybe we should look at him. Well, we have a coach. No, maybe we should look at him. Okay, boss. I think that's become a regular conversation around the NHL for the last couple of years.
Hmm. What do you make of the John Cooper to Salt Lake City rumors?
Well, Julian Brisebois has said that Coop's under contract for next year and
wants
him back past that. So,
but
in the summer of 26, John Cooper is going to be able to decide what he wants to do, because if I'm an owner and I want somebody, and John Cooper wants a new challenge, there's going to be an opportunity for John Cooper to elevate his position, I think, not just in Utah, but other teams will look at it too. I would love the intelligence and the congeniality of John Cooper in my organization.
I would buy the he's got one more year left argument, except I just watched what happened with Mike Sullivan and Rick Dockett.
Yeah.
That's
a good point.
Call me skeptical.
That's a good point.
Have a great weekend, my friend. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll see you in round two.
And congratulations to Joe Micheletti.
Well said.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.